Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files, Bible videos with various topics, and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you into any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. In the last few weeks, we have been discussing drilling Bible basics. We're now turning to a new subject this morning in our drilling Bible basic. We want to look at the scheme of redemption. God's scheme of redemption is His plan by which man may obtain salvation from his sin. The scheme encompasses human history, has been in place since the world began. We read this in Romans 16, beginning in verse 25. Now to him he was able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, being made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience of the faith. And so this plan has been in mind before God even created the world. Read 1 Corinthians 2, 7. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 15, 19, through 29, really, Paul sums up the scheme of redemption when he speaks of three great elements of God's unfolding plan: the promise, the law, and faith. These three great elements are the basis of the scheme of redemption. Each has its unique role as the scheme of redemption unfolds in its fullness. Let's begin this morning by reading Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of, not in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say into seeds as of many, but as to one, in your seed, which is Christ. And I say this, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, that it should be made the promise of no effect. The promises made to Abraham were made in Genesis chapter 12, in chapter 22, in 26, and 24. They were first made to Abraham, then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. They entailed three great promises: the land promise, the nation promise, and the seed promise. The land promise would be the land of Canaan. The nation promise would be Israel. And the seed promise would be Jesus Christ. And so those three great promises make up the first element of the scheme of redemption, and that is the promise. Notice in chapter 12 of Genesis in verse 3 that he would bless all nations. And in Galatians 3, verse 8, the scripture says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham before, saying, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, the gospel wasn't preached until the day of Pentecost, but it was preached in principle to Abraham back in Genesis 12 when he told him through his seed all the nations would be blessed. Abraham's seed, to whom the promise was made, is Christ. God promised to justify the nation by faith in Christ Jesus. No one would add or annul to this divine covenant or promise. This promise was a covenant agreement that could not be changed, not even by the addition of the law, which came 430 years after the promise was given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Even though the law of Moses was given 430 years later, it did not annul what God had told Abraham. Those promises made to Abraham would be kept, and the law that was given to the Mosaic nation, the first promise of God, the law of Moses given to the nation of Israel, did not annul the promise made to Abraham. The inheritance was given to Abraham by promise, not by law. But that leads us to the second element of the scheme of redemption, and that is law. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, what is the purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come when the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given by which man could have been given life, truly righteousness would have been seen by the law. But the scripture has confined that all were under sin, and that the promise of faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And so what we see here, the purpose of the law of Moses, it was added because of sin. It was to demonstrate that man was a sinner, that he had transgressed God's law, and therefore he needed redemption and he needed a Savior. All men were confined under sin. All had transgressed God's law. All were under sin. They were kept under guard by the law. What law? By the law of Moses. Read Romans 3, 19 through 20. Was the law against the promise? No, the law which demanded perfect law keeping could not give life due to sin. Since all men have sinned, Romans 3, verse 23, and all men transgress God's law, therefore being separated from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the law could not save man. The law of Moses could not save them. It was never designed to save them. And the law of Christ can't save us in and of itself, because man do not keep it perfectly. Was the law against the promise? No. The law which demanded perfect law keeping would not give life, but it would lead us to the thing that would give us life. The promise was the only hope left to those who believed. How long was the law added? Till the seed should come when the promise was made. When the seed came that was promised to Abraham in Genesis 22, then the law would be done away with. Man was kept under guard by the law for the faith that would be revealed in the future. The law was a schoolmaster. It was an attendant, an escort, to bring man of old to Christ, the seed that would fulfill the promise. No longer under the attendant, the old covenant, after faith has come in Christ, now we're under the law of Christ. That leads us to the last part of Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ to put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, justification of sinners by faith in the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is God's power to save man, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This justification, which means to be acquitted, which means to be made right, and salvation is obtained when one puts on Christ by being baptized into Christ to contact the blood of Christ, and baptism is part of the salvation by faith, just as repentance and confession is. That's what we read when we study the nine conversions in the book of Acts. We see how a man is saved and by what means he obtains salvation. All who are saved are one in Christ without ethnic, social, or gender distinctions. All nations shall be blessed. That's what Abraham was told in Genesis 22, and we can read that again in Ephesians 3 and verse 6. We are of Abraham's seed if we are in Christ. The seed are heirs according to the promise. The what? The inheritance. A physical inheritance of Canaan? No. The inheritance of the divine nature of being in heaven. So we are blessed in the body of the Savior today and heirs of an inheritance of spiritual and heavenly treasure that await us in heaven And we read this in Matthew 6:20, Romans 8:17, and Hebrews 11:16. Be rich in faith and heir of the kingdom of God, promised to those who love him, according to James 2 and verse number 5. You see, the scheme of redemption was given to save sinful men. It was a process, and the scheme was planned before the world began. And the scheme of redemption, the plan of redemption, was focused around those three things: by the promise, by the law, and by the nation. Now notice those three things: the law, the promise, and faith. Those three elements make up the scheme of redemption. The promises that were made to Abraham that make us of the spiritual seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, by obedience to the gospel. The law, which was a tutor, a schoolmaster, to bring them along until it could lead them to Christ. And then when they arrived at Christ, and Christ had done his work by dying on the cross, giving his life as a ransom for many, and paying the redemption price of sin, then that would lead us to faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Faith in the gospel, and it would be the thing that would cause all men, or give all men the opportunity to be saved. But you see, this plan was made before time began, and the scheme of redemption was God's plan to save sinful men. God made man a free moral agent, but he knew men would choose incorrectly. He knew that men would choose to sin rather than to be faithful. Therefore, they would need redemption. They would need a Savior. They would need a way of being reconciled and a way to be justified and sanctified. And all of that would be fulfilled in reality in the death of his Son upon the cross. And when men and women look to the Scriptures and believe what the Scriptures teach and follow the instructions as they are given by God, as they are revealed in the New Testament by the mind of God, that was revealed by him in order that we would be able to know God. We can know him if we obey him by obedience to the law of Christ. It is up to you and to me to accept the plan and to accept the steps and the terms of salvation that can only be found in Christ. It is up to you and me to make that decision. God has made it available. God desires all men be saved, 2 Peter 3:9, doesn't wish any to perish, wants all men to come to knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, but it is up to us in order to make it reality in our lives by making ourselves a recipient of the scheme of redemption. Sadly, many men will not do that because they fail to go to the only place where the scheme of redemption is revealed, the only place where the scheme of redemption can be found. It can't be found in catechisms. It can't be found in creed books. It can't be found in human theology or in religious philosophy. It can only be found in the Scripture, and can only be achieved by following the divine instruction given by God, as we talked about last week. The scheme of redemption is God's means of saving men, and he planned the plan and designed the plan before the world ever began. Have you become a recipient of the scheme of redemption?